All right, I think we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, we did it. We're having some technical difficulties, but thank you so much, Sydney, for helping us out. I'm so excited. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Project Egg Show. I'm your host, Ben Gothard. Today, we have the honor of speaking with Sydney Campos. Not only is she a tech wizard, but... also is doing some other incredible things that I'm so excited to talk about. And I want to kick it off by asking you, Sydney, what is your story?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm a technical support wizard, evidently, and that pretty much says it all. You know, I mean, Ben, thank you so much. It's so great to be with you. And I just love this whole little process that we got to go through, because like how you show up in this kind of little thing that we just got to do, it tells me a lot about who you are and how you are. And I really appreciate you and your patience and your communication. So I just want to honor you for that. And you know, that says a lot about me. You know, I like to pay attention to how people are showing up and how they really are being. And that's what I'm here to be in the world. I'm here to be an example of what it's like to be your true self, to be authentic, to speak your truth. And to really be an example of, you know, leadership, what it's like to lead in a, I don't know, I'm really in this inquiry right now of like, what is leadership, you know, and I'm questioning my own leadership and how that is called to be served right now. The past couple of years, I've served as a mentor, as a coach, coaching in like business strategy, and also, you know, intuitive healing and a lot of different ways. I have also a prior history of like working in PR and marketing, done a lot of different things. And in the last couple of weeks, I've just felt this big reorientation to focus my energy really in alignment with what is my highest excitement, my highest calling. And at this moment, that's about building community and creating a new platform in which community, you know, of leaders and visionaries, new earth architects can gather and practice being together in a new way that's really, you know, premised on truth, authenticity, and high integrity.
So when did you first start paying attention?
I think when I was a little kid. You know, I was sharing about this recently with a friend. I'm highly intuitive. I'm, you know, psychic, empathic. I do a lot of different types of intuitive healing. And that has been true my whole life. You know, I remember being a little kid. I think this is true for many people. When we're little kids, before we're conditioned, before we're, you know, traumatized by the world, by our families, by all the things that, you know, teach us about ourselves, pretty like tapped in. I think that's our human nature, is to be pretty intuitive and tapped in. And that was certainly the case for me. And I always paid attention to how people were really being, as opposed to what they were saying. Because a lot of times people can say things and then they're doing something else, or they're being, their energy is saying something else, you know? So that was always really confusing for me, actually. And I got into a lot of trouble when I was a little kid for kind of calling people out, and especially adults, and feeling them say one thing but do another, and just calling them out like, that's not true. I heard you say this, you didn't do that, or, you know, and very quickly remember feeling, you know, very empathic that, you know, feel people be really uncomfortable by how I would confront them in what I perceived to be untrue. And, you know, so early on in my life, I learned to not speak my truth, actually, because it made a lot of people uncomfortable, and it made my parents uncomfortable, and it made, you know, the people that I depended on to take care of me uncomfortable. So that started a long journey of repression and disconnection, disassociation from myself, and was all perfect for finding myself eventually again. But, you know, it catalyzed a lot of disconnection, I should say, and a lot of pain along the way too.
Was that a conscious thought of when you were little, like, oh, the people around me, especially those I depend on, they're not really digging this truth that I'm laying down on them. Like, I'm going to tone it down a little bit. Like, was that conscious, or is that just a natural result of the responses that they had towards your action? And you're like, okay, well, now I need to learn to better survive. Like, how did that actually go down?
It's a good question. I like the way that you pay attention too. That's really insightful. And I don't remember. I think what I just told you is like my rationalization that I've only come to after like years of healing work and kind of trying to make sense of what must have happened. Because I don't think I was consciously aware. I mean, maybe at some level, who knows? But that was, you know, set me up for the perfect path to go through repression and disconnection and disassociation and eventually, you know, addiction and other things to numb out and to like numb my sensitivity. Because it was really painful to feel everything and feel everybody and yeah, and be psychically reading people. But, you know, meanwhile, they're saying something and doing something different. It didn't make sense. It was very confusing. It was really, it was a lot. And so, you know, it was a survival mechanism to kind of just fit in. And, you know, I had to go to school and like be a kid and hang out with people and not be a total weirdo. And, you know, I couldn't be like psychically feeling everybody all the time. And it was really isolating, actually, probably to feel that way. And I had no, really what I understand now is like, I just had no tools and I had no support and I had no way of, I had no language actually available to me at that time to understand that, you know, what I was experiencing was different. Like I couldn't put a name to it. It's like, you don't know what you don't know, right? Until eventually you like have an awakening and you're like, oh my God, that's what was happening. Like that was just growing up. That was just my experience. I must have assumed that everyone else was like feeling all kinds of ways too, but they were keeping it together and they weren't freaking out and they weren't getting in trouble. And, you know, it's like, we don't know. And so now I love to share about this story and my kind of interpretation of it. Cause I find that a lot of people actually, it's like, sometimes you don't know what your experience is or was until you hear someone else kind of reflect theirs. And you're like, wait a minute, I think that happened for me too. Or like, wait, this word empath, like I never heard that before, but that really describes how I felt. Wow. Like what's that about? What does that mean? You know?
So when you started to do work on the self, whatever that actually means, but when you started to do work on yourself, how did you remember the things that were happening in your past in order to then be able to like properly work on them? Because and the reason I ask is because, well, one, I'm curious, but also like I hear all the time people are like, oh, well, think back to who you were as a kiddo, and that was your, like, that was your truest self. And I agree with that because, like we were talking about, there wasn't as much of that conditioning or like not as much life. And like, I feel we didn't care as much also what other people thought. So we just kind of did and we just were. Mm-hmm. But I don't always remember, like, I don't remember what I wanted to be when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. So like, how did you think back? What tools did you use to remember? Or was it just burned into your mind? Like, what was that like? Cool.
Yeah, I just got the direct download and then nothing, you know, I didn't really have to do anything. No, I mean, that's a challenging question to answer. There's a few things that come up, you know, it's a long process. I got sober about 8 years ago. I had a pretty long history with drugs and alcohol and just numbing. I mean, even being addicted to like attention and codependent relationships. There are all these mechanisms that I employed over like about 10 years to just shut myself off because I was so overwhelmed by how much I felt. I'm so sensitive and thought something was wrong with me also, you know, I was like afraid of being in touch with my truth or myself. And cause you know, whoa, then if I really listened to what was going on in my heart, then my whole life would actually have to be different. Then I'd have to get honest about how I was like living some life that had been, you know, prescribed to me by society that wasn't really fulfilling. It's like a lot of truth to face, you know? So, but you know, my journey started in getting clean, going into recovery, which is a whole process of like many years of doing and literally inventory of my whole life and looking at all the people that I was resentful at, looking at all the ways in which I had given power away, making amends, all kinds of stuff. And this isn't everybody's journey, but it happens to be mine. And so I did a lot of self-study, a lot of like inventorying of my entire life and like the things that I had been holding on to, the resentments, the guilt, the shame, and made amends and made it right wherever I could. And you know, and along that journey in recovery, inner child work came up, you know, which is a massive part of my healing and is a big part of what I share with others. I've hosted like entire retreats that are all based around the modality of inner child healing. Because really the question, even the way that you kind of premised your question, which I really appreciate, is like, you know, how do we even begin? Like, how do we even become aware of these things to like be ourselves, to be who we really are, you know? And it's actually so simple, you know, like think about little kids. They're so present. You know, like I could simplify the answer to your question actually as a distinction between, you know, living in kind of the mind, which wants to operate in like the past and the future and wants to like project and control, and is it kind of existing in these different time frames, is like not actually designed to be here in this present moment where there's not a lot to figure out or worry about or even think about. It's just like pure presence, right? And little kids are like the embodiment of that, just like total presence, total listening, like desire, you know, cry, like immediate reactivity to like what's occurring in this moment, like crying, happiness, joy. Like you can see a little kid go through the full spectrum of emotions in like a second, you know? And that I believe is really a key to like us accessing, no matter what level of, you know, no matter where we're at in our journey, it's like, how can we drop into more presence? How can we drop into presence with ourselves and really, you know, feel, there's a few layers to that too. Cause a lot of people right now at this moment are like, and this is certainly the case for me, it's like, be present. Like, how do I even do that? Like, how do I get present? Like I've been living in my mind my whole life, a condition with so much fear and control and anxiety. And, oh, and also the projection of, you know, worrying about what you think about me to define my value and all of the things. I mean, it's complex and it's a lot to just be present. And even to just breathe, like to breathe all the way into your body. Most people are breathing, this is the case for me, like breathing in a way that, you know, is like programming your body to be in a state of fight or flight, like total nervous system, like burnout, and just like, which catalyzes, you know, worry on a loop. And so, you know, there's so much more I could share, but it's been a really long process. And I would say now at this moment in my journey, it's simple. It's like, when I'm supporting someone and connecting more with their purpose, living in alignment with their purpose that they're here to share, and however that manifests in business and their relationship and, you know, any way, it's like, how can I support you to become fully present? And the answer to that is usually just holding space for someone to deeply relax and actually feel themselves and like feel really safe to fully let go and to be really calm and to maybe have some guidance of like, what is it like to actually breathe all the way into your body and like really relax and like let go of the mental loops that are wanting you to worry or obsess about things or control or just like really let go, you know? And then in that space, more of your true self naturally emerges. It's right there. There's not so much you actually have to do.
So how, and I'm not sure if there is a definite answer, but like, it seems like breathing is a really good starting point because mm-hmm. I, at least for me, I'm not very sophisticated, but like I understand the concept of breathing at least to some basic degree. Right. So like, how would I approach a better way of breathing to be more present?
Yeah. Well, if you want, and everybody who's listening, either, you know, now or in a future now moment, you know, as long as you're not driving, don't do this while you're driving. Just, you know, you could close your eyes and just like right there, just closing your eyes is like, oh, what a relief. Like no, not too much like overwhelm or sensory stimulation. You know, like we're inundated with so much data. And as you close your eyes, just like try emptying out all of your breath, like emptying out your lungs completely. And it might surprise you as to like how much breath is actually there. Like you think you're breathing out, but you're actually not all the way. So like empty out all the way and feel what it's like to be empty for a little bit. And then only when you absolutely must breathe in, see if you can breathe in through a really tiny little straw and breathe in, you know, say from your feet. What's it like to breathe in through the soles of your feet even? And just seeing if you can track your breath from that low in your body. Like you're breathing in through a little straw really slowly. And you might just have this visual of your body filling up with air, with energy. And you feel that air filling you up all the way up to the top of your head. And maybe up here, you feel yourself completely full at capacity. And you just feel what that's like to be full for a little bit. Maybe you breathe in even a little bit more and see what your capacity is to really hold everything that you're here to hold. And when you absolutely must, let go, just let everything go with a nice exhale and clear all of that out. And with every exhale, allowing any tension or tightness to just really melt away so you can really relax. Yeah. And you would do that for a little bit. But I mean, that was just one example of like a full breath. And I find it really helpful to picture, like your picture your whole body breathing. You know, so often we're not really consciously breathing, and we can get into this really mentally activated state where we're like breathing from like up here, you know, and it's like nervous. It's like this really nervous state. I think most people are kind of operating in that capacity. And, you know, something I pay attention to is like what we're inundated with culturally, like in America, especially. It's like the news is on, the radio is on, like all these media channels, they're like fear, and they're like, they're traumatizing. They're like wanting you to stay in this really like activated fight or flight state, you know? And I'm really sensitive to that. I don't watch TV. And today someone had the news on at the place where I'm staying. And there's like the fires that are happening in California right now are like all over the news. But the way it's being conveyed is like, it's like red alert, like really intense, like it's just, you can feel that it's like meant to activate like this sense of fear and intensity, you know? And so anyways, I feel that it's so important. It's so simple, and it's so important to give ourselves as much space as we can each day to just like be present with yourself, like drop into your body, breathe all the way. And if you do that for just a few moments every day, I mean, your life will change. I used to think, like, even in a lot of my coaching practice, a lot of my, you know, healing practice over the years, there are like so many things that I could give you in terms of exercises and practices and things to do. And I still do that sometimes when it's helpful for someone, you know, when I feel it's going to be supportive, but it's so simple. I almost laugh sometimes, you know, like when I host retreats or things, like, I mean, it's just so simple. Like if we would all just commit to breathing more consciously, and we would actually do that, you know, for a couple moments a day and make that a dedicated practice, I think the world would be a better place, you know?
Well, I actually agree, because I felt significantly more relaxed and kind of releasing some of the ickiness that may have accrued during the day or maybe I was thinking about. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I love talking about this too. And
yeah.
So I kind of want to step back a second. When you made the decision to get clean, that's like a huge life event, right? Mm-hmm. At least from my perspective, trying to listen to the narrative, to the story. What was the catalyst for that? Like, what made you decide, like, one day? I mean, was there like a fortune cookie that was like today, or like how? Like, what was the catalyst?
Your examples are funny. You're like, was it just burned on your brain? Did you just get a cookie? Did you just like, well, I mean, what kind of reality do you live in? That sounds fun.
fun <one.
laughs> Yeah, me too now. That's back then it was not as maybe as fun. And I'm actually coming up. I'll have 8 years on November 1st of sobriety from alcohol and drug abuse, which is really cool. And it's a really special day. And you know, and it's just wild because it's such a track. It's such a clear milestone, you know, like, whoa, I can remember what I was doing at that. I can remember what I was up to at that time 8 years ago. I don't really have a like recognition of myself and how I was or who I was because I was so disconnected compared to how I now feel, you know. It's like, whoa, like who was that person? And there was not a specific moment. There were many moments because I'm really stubborn. And it took me a lot of moments to like get the kind of wake up call to stop. You know, I went to my first AA meeting when I was 17. I was already like a full blown, you know, I was operating like a full blown alcoholic, and I was blacking out, drinking, getting into really bad fights, and then just not remembering and calling my best friends at the time and just being like, what happened last night, guys? And then having them say, well, you know, I don't think I can be friends with you anymore because it's too painful to watch you do this to yourself. And then I'd have like a double life and I'd do really well in school and pretend like everything was fine. But I was really into drugs as well. And I wanted to just, part of that too, I read into is like wanting to be really connected to spirit and feeling like, okay, drugs and alcohol were a way for me to like get out of this nervous wreck state of being so that I could actually connect and actually like try to be present or feel safe to express myself, you know? And so there's many ways to look at it. And so anyways, Wow. So 17, it was already pretty intense. But I decided at that meeting I went to that I, you know, it wasn't that bad. All these other people in AA are really old and they've like lost all of these things and it's not that bad yet. I'm going to like go to college and party and have fun. Cause that was such a part of my identity. Like drugs and alcohol had been a big part of my identity. I wanted, you know, I was a party person and I still am. I love to bring people together and I love to like, that's who I am. I'm a connector and I've always been that way, but I wasn't capable of being that, you know, without drugs and alcohol for a very long time. That was like the vehicle. So the end kind of looked like probably about a year or two. And there were a series of like arrests and hospitalizations and relationships ending and injuries. And there are a few things that were happening that just really, you know, I had to look in the mirror and be like, I'm going to die if I keep doing this. This is really scary. And one of the moments I always remember, I call them like moments of grace, you know, because when you're in that type of disconnection from yourself, I mean, I feel like I was possessed by something else. Like when I was in these low states of just, you know, total disarray, like I don't know if that was me in there. Like, I don't know. I don't really recall. So there were moments of grace in which certain people would come into my path and they would reflect to me finally, like an, you know, whoa, they would help me have that little wake up call. Like, wait a minute, this is not what I'm here to do anymore. And one of those people is a therapist that I was seeing. And if you could imagine, I'll just try to paint the picture for you. I was working at some full-time, I forget if I was in a finance job or, yeah, I was working in some kind of office in New York. I was really unhappy though. I like got all the things that I thought I was supposed to have to feel safe and secure. And like, I was really concerned about having like 401k and like insurance and, you know, and, but meanwhile, on top of having that job, I was also working at a strip club. I was also like escorting. I was like having really painful obsessions about money. I was, you know, doing a lot of cocaine. I was blacking out drinking often and just totally living this double life. And it was really dangerous, putting myself in a lot of danger. But then I went to this therapist thinking I could get some career counseling because maybe if I could just have some support and, you know, having this person tell me where I should go for a new job so that I could feel fulfilled, then maybe, you know, I could stop drinking and doing all these other things. Now, I didn't tell her about any of the other things I was up to. I just wanted, you know, I just thought, you know, if I could just have a job that felt more meaningful, then maybe I could be happy and I could stop doing these other things. You know, and, but eventually in one of our conversations, I told her the truth and I had never told anybody. I was carrying this whole burden myself of like all the other things and, you know, behavior I was up to and hiding and felt so much shame I was carrying. And finally I just told her, and actually I told her the truth because she had diagnosed me. I think she had said, you know, I want to put you on medication because it seems like you have an anxiety disorder. It seems like you're showing symptoms of like, you know, being manic, bipolar, manic, something like that. And yeah, I think it was bipolar, something really. And then I told her, I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, I don't think I can drink on medication. So that's going to be an issue. Second of all, by the way, here's all the, I'm doing a lot of cocaine. And I think that's what these symptoms are, you know, because once it got serious with like, you know, medication being prescribed, I told her the truth. And upon telling her the truth of everything I was up to, I just remember the look on her face, kind of, you know, showing the shock. Like she just looked totally shocked at what I had just told her. And she looked at me with this look of like, I can't believe you're alive. And something in her face, just, it felt like looking in the mirror and it felt like, you know, I saw myself like, whoa, this is like not what I'm here to do. This is not the life that I'm here for. And I didn't actually get clean right after that, but there were a few other moments. But just in that same kind of dynamic of like, wanting to present myself in a certain way and then feeling this deep shame that what I was actually doing was not aligned, was not congruent with the kind of life that I really, you know, I deeply wanted to live a purpose that was meaningful. I deeply wanted to help people, but I couldn't help anybody if I wasn't helping myself. You know, I couldn't get out of my own way. So, and there were a few other moments and, you know, yeah. And it's a miracle. I didn't have the experience of like trying to get clean a lot and relapsing. I mean, I just decided, I was like, I cannot do this anymore. And I stayed and I didn't relapse. I didn't really, you know, have that experience, as is the case for a lot of people, in recovery, and did the work, you know. And it's a really big part of my healing journey was like being in community and like being supported in recovery, having a place to go every day. Cause it took me a long time to actually Yeah, to feel safe, to like be alone, to learn how to meditate, to learn how to breathe. I mean, I had so much stuff I was carrying and numbing and avoiding. And I didn't know how to interact with people, really. I didn't know how to interact with people outside of a club or outside of like partying. I really didn't. I was wearing such a mask and a persona of like this party person that when that was all taken away, I was so scared. I really didn't know how to be with other people. So there was a big learning process of, whoa, how do I interact? Like, talk about true self. Like, who am I without this other stuff? Wow. It was really scary at first.
When you started to get more clarity there, is that when you figured out that, oh, who I really am, at least could be in part of the little kid that I was, where I am the empath and I do feel and I do pay attention? Is that when that kind of came back into focus?
Yeah, I talk about this a little bit in my book, which is called The Empath Experience, What to Do When You Feel Everything, appropriately titled. And I think I had about a year sober and everything looked really good. And like this is a big part of my story too, and kind of like alignment in my life and a big part of what I teach now is reorienting to your internal experience, that your external reality is a reflection of your internal state, which I know we've all heard a million times, but this is like my life, testament to that lesson is like, I'm a year sober and like everything looked so good. I had a great apartment, I had a great community, I had a great job, everything looked awesome. So why didn't I feel awesome? Why didn't I feel good? All the boxes were checked off. Why didn't I feel? I felt so nervous. I felt really anxious. I actually felt kind of crazy. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? That was my initial thought. Like, what's wrong with me? Something's still wrong with me. I thought something was wrong with me my whole life. I'm like, here's this feeling again still. And I didn't have the language to understand what I now understand was going on, which is that as I cleaned the drugs and alcohol out of my system, I was allowing my intuition and my emotions to stabilize and come back online. I was allowing this like inner voice to be accessed again. I was like clearing this channel, right, of like my connection to my true self, to my inner voice. And it was really it was powerful, but it felt extremely overwhelming. I didn't know that was what was happening, and it was really overwhelming. It was like my psychic abilities were like coming online, all of my like sensitivity was like really amplified, and I had no way to describe that, nor did I have any access to any information that would have supported me in cultivating that. I just didn't know. The best I knew was to like tell people like this is what I'm experiencing. I'm feeling really anxious. I'm feeling really scared. I'm feeling like obsessive about certain things again. I don't know what's going on. So I had two people refer me to Reiki, which is an energy healing modality, which I found to be incredibly supportive, and eventually became a practitioner of that myself. And I was pointed by these two separate people to the same woman to go get a Reiki session. So I'm like, that's interesting synchronicity. Okay, guess I have to go meet this lady. And in that session, I had the experience of like, whoa, being just so clear. I had like, it's basically an energy healing modality that helps you to recalibrate to your body's own natural state and just helps to amplify your own capacity to heal and clear away whatever's not you. And it was profound. It was like, whoa, I did this energy healing session. I felt so clear. I felt so connected. I felt so peaceful. I was kind of freaking out then. I'm like, whoa, like what just happened? I feel really good. Like what just happened? What was, whoa. And the Reiki healer reflected to me that I'm an empath. And that was the first time that I had ever heard that word or had been present enough to receive it, I guess. But I'd never heard it really before. And she's like, you're an empath, you're a sponge. You're sponging up, all of New York City, where I was living at the time, which is a really chaotic place to be. And she's like, you're just absorbing everyone's energy and emotion. And no wonder you felt like a wreck, you're taking on a lot. And that was the beginning of my journey and learning about, empaths and how to take care of myself. And eventually I started, years later, like started practicing Reiki, started seeing my own clients, just started passing along what I had learned, basically. And all my clients were empaths. They were just like me, like a few steps behind me, maybe on the path. And I, basically started creating this like prescription for them of like different practices and different things that to come into more mastery over my energy and to like refine my intuition, to create boundaries, all sorts of different things. And people were reflecting to me like, whoa, this is so helpful. The practices you're giving me are so, they're changing my life. Like, you know, people were having really deep experiences. I'm like, kind of taking it for granted, honestly, because I'm like, these are just the things I had to do to survive and like be okay. And, you know, it didn't seem like such a big deal actually. But it was a big deal for many people. Then I started to realize, you know, there were a few things that happened. This is a couple years ago. And I was noticing, I was going online to like, look about information for like empaths, like look into information on empaths. And I noticed a lot of the information out there was really negative and like very fear-based. Like, you're going to be a drug addict. You're going to be an alcoholic. You're going to be attracted to narcissists. You're going to be in these abusive relationships. You're going to kill yourself, you know, all these things. And I'm like, whoa, guys, like, okay, first of all, I've already like done all these things, most of them, you know, and actually things are okay now. Like, why is there all this fear-based information that feels like really hopeless? And it's like not my experience. So I felt this desire to communicate what I had experienced and to share, you know, to share what I was sharing with my clients, but in a more public way. I'm like, whoa, if they're having these experiences, I should share this maybe in a, you know, in an article. Like, I have a lot more that I could share. So then I wrote two articles and those were really well received. And I had people emailing me from all over the world who were like, this article describes how I felt my entire life. I sent this article to my whole family so they can understand what it's like to be me. And they were just like me though. They were reflecting to me like, I've never heard this word before. This describes how I felt. Oh my God. And then I was like, okay, whoa. Maybe I should write some more. And then I just started writing a little, you know, a little ebook. I'm like, I'll just write it. You know, I've got like 40, 50 pages or something. I could easily write that. I love to write. I started writing that. And this is how the universe works. You know, when I like to tell this story, because listen, when anybody listening, when you have a calling and you have a desire to really be of service in a particular way, that's usually connected to something you specifically have gone through in your life. You know, like the thing you've gone through, the trauma you've gone through, the pain you've gone through, how have you transcended that? What helped you? How did you help yourself? And like, share that story, share it. And if you have a desire to really, to share, listen, because there's so many people out there that are waiting to hear from you, you know, like, and there's a lot of information about empaths out there, you know, but for some reason, like there was some way in which I brought through my experience that resonates with a lot of people who maybe didn't resonate with a lot of the other stuff that's out there, who are waiting to like hear my version, you know? And so anyways, I just started to like work on this little book and didn't have any ambition to like, you know, have a book deal or like get a major publisher or have like big distribution. I mean, I really wasn't thinking about that at all. But however, this is meeting the universe halfway. I started working on the outline at around the same time frame. I get a Facebook message from an editor at Simon & Schuster, who I frankly thought it was spam at first. Like she sends a Facebook message about like offering a book deal. You know, I'm like, no way, man. Like, you know, and at first I'm like, yeah, okay. Like I can be in your compilation or something. Like, you know, there's just no way. And then I was in Bali at the time and I would get on the call with this woman, Eileen. And she's like, no, we, you know, we're an imprint of Simon & Schuster, which is one of the biggest publishers in the world. And she's like, you know, we forecast that this is in 2017, by the way, but she's like, we forecast that, you know, in 2018, empathy is going to be trending, which I thought was really funny. I'm like, that's weird. Shouldn't it always be trending? But, you know, it's like a pretty big deal for a major publisher to be like, we're looking at trend forecasts for sales and, you know, using this to, you know, figure out our titles, and empathy's up there. And we want you to write a piece based on the articles that you've sent, you know, you've put out, and let's do it. And so I got to write the empath experience, and I got to write it with a major publisher that has now distributed it all over the world. And it's, yeah. And it's just such a miracle and to me, a testament of how, you know, wow, we're so supported when we're going for what is really our calling and what is really in alignment for us to share and sharing our gifts. It's like, here you go.
All from a Facebook message from Eileen.
And, you know, and Eileen, thank you so much. I wonder if she'll ever listen to this. I'll send her the message. I'll send her this actually to listen to, because, you know, I actually just signed a contract for my second book deal with them, with Simon & Schuster, with Adams Media. And that next book will be called The Consciousness Code, 8 Steps to Awakening Higher Consciousness. And And the way that's unfolded has been very miraculous as well. It's just been this like co-creative, you know, I think for 20, they're like, for 2020, we think consciousness will be trending. And I'm like, you guys are so great. But it's just, it's such a blessing to have the opportunity to share. And this new book will be sharing a little bit more of my story in terms of, you know, some of the shadow experiences that I've had regarding, you know, sexuality, distortion around money, distortion around power. Some of the things I mentioned to you, like my experiences going into like stripping and escorting and what addiction really like was, where some of the places that led me into, and just sharing about that, you know, because it's my hope that everything I went through gets to be an example of what no one else ever has to go through in order to simply choose to take care of themselves now and to live a better life and to, you know, be who you really are. Like, you don't have to go through all of this like darkness and the depths of the shadow and the pain, and you know, and we all go through whatever we're meant to go through. And I like to just say, hey, you can take the shortcut if you'd like. I figured some things out for you if you'd like to just take this.
Well, it really seems like all of the experiences that you went through that in the time or during that time were very painful. And then coming out of those, you carve the path of like getting to a place where you are living the life that you would like to live and you are doing the things that you want to do. And like a total 180 or whatever the maximum number of degrees is before you go in the same way. and like that path, that journey, it almost seems like you kind of opened up the windows to show that path of to show people like, hey, you don't have to do that. There's a better way, or like, here's a shortcut to get, like, to get to the good stuff and avoid the painful stuff.
Yeah. I really, I think that's what I signed up for in this life is, as I said, to be an example and really to be an example of how, you know, we get to love all of our experience. Like, there is nothing to be ashamed of. Something I've seen so much in my journey is just like, it's astounding. And that's like a trend right now too, like Brené Brown and, you know, all these other people coming out of the closet, talking about their shame and their, you know, but it's true. It's like, wow, like this conditioning of like, you got to hide these things about yourself that are wrong, that are bad, that are embarrassing, that are weird, you know? And I've been with so many groups and with so many of my clients, it's like, wow, the stuff that you're ashamed of about yourself or the stuff that you feel you're embarrassed about or that nobody can see or that, you know, is going to make people hate you or think less of you. It's like, that's the stuff that you get to love about yourself, actually. And oftentimes the things you're most ashamed of about yourself are really keys to your greatest gifts, your greatest genius. Like, they're literally that, like the shame is literally, you know, the path to seeing what it is that you're really here to give. Like, that's how you really see what you're really made of. You know, when you get to love these aspects of yourself that have been repressed and hidden and distorted, it's like, okay, man, whoa, that's intense. Okay, I forgive myself. Yeah, that's kind of weird. That's kind of silly, but that's what makes me different and unique. And whoa, I learned a really incredible lesson from that experience. How do I share this? Whoa, I must not have gone through that unless there is a reason. You know, there's a purpose to that. Like, what did I learn? How did that initiate me into greater power and presence or into more of like who I really am? You know, and these are the kinds of questions I'd love to empower people with. It's like, because the energy that goes to like hiding stuff about ourselves is so draining. It's so exhausting. It's so exhausting pretending to be someone else. You know, it's so tiring. And meanwhile, like, who are you? Who you are is amazing. So unique, so different. You know, it's funny to me to watch this conditioning of, you know, like needing to be a certain way or be like someone or like this whole conditioning of comparison. It feels so, and then having like been in that most of my life, like I get it. And I feel in this moment, I'm like, whoa, that feels so irrelevant. Like that idea that you would ever want to, that any of us would ever, you know, seek to compare ourselves to anyone else. Like, it doesn't make sense, but I understand that that whole notion comes from, you know, the part of us that wants to make sense of everything, that wants to know where we fit in, that wants to know if we belong, that wants to know if we feel if we're understandable, you know. And so we're in a really interesting moment right now in our evolution, and it's fun to watch what's unfolding.
So it seems like a couple of weeks ago you had another pretty important moment. Can you talk about what caused that? I don't know if it was a shift, if that's the right word, whatever exactly it was, what caused it? I mean, what caused the, maybe it's like a refocusing of finding the, you know, what seems like is now a really big focus and passion of yours.
Yeah. Thank you for asking me that. Yeah, I call it like maybe a realignment, you know, and it's funny, like a couple weeks ago, even just looking at how it was showing up, it's like, man, a few months ago, let's paint the picture timeline. So 2 months ago, I was living in this like mansion in Venice called the Mystic Manor. I was helping create this TV show called Optimistic. I was helping to host retreats and like run the operations for this production that I thought at the time was just like so in alignment with everything that, you know, I'm here for. Like, whoa, okay, disrupting consciousness and mass media, yes, like hosting retreats, living in community, living in this beautiful house where I can host events and workshops, and it's like everything seemed perfect. And underneath that, though, I got to be with a lot of important dynamics that wanted to be healed and cleared around, like, wow, so much of my own integrity around, like, wait a minute, what am I really here for? Like, what is actually my purpose? And I think no matter where we're at in our life, and no matter how on purpose and how in alignment we already are, it's like we get to keep asking ourselves like this question: where am I out of integrity? Where can I be in more clear alignment with like what I'm really called to do right now? Like, what is my highest calling? You know, and in my case, like the last couple of months have been this experience of going into things that feel really aligned, that feel really good, that come with a lot of excitement, that look really bright and shiny, you know, and then I go and try them and I go and do it and I go put my all into it. And then I realize like, wow, actually, this isn't it. Actually, this is really depleting. This is really tiring. Oh, that was my ego wanting to like get attention and feel important and, you know, be famous and all these kinds of things. And I wouldn't have known unless I had that experience. So I got to go choose that contrasting experience that then led me into greater congruence and alignment. So there's nothing, my point is like, and I say this to myself most of all, like, don't ever beat yourself up. There's no such thing as mistakes. You know, like we're always seeking out these contrasting experiences to learn and to come into greater alignment with like what is true for us. Because the truth isn't stagnant. It's not stationary. I mean, it's not like this, yes, and it's not black and white. It's not. It's like we're evolving so fast. Like I've evolved so fast in the last couple of months, and I don't even recognize myself from that time frame, you know. And so anyways, the last month, October, has been like, whoa, an incredible month of reorientation, recalibration. And I know that's true for many people right now. I think this is a collective reorientation where invited into, you know, to get really clear, like, wait a minute, where am I giving my power away? Where do I feel depleted? Where do I feel drained? Where do the things that I've even been committed to for years or months, like where do they no longer feel in alignment? Where have I fallen out of resonance with people that I've been working with? You know, wait a minute, what old identity is wanting to fall away? Like, where at all do I feel really tired and like upholding some personality or identity that doesn't feel authentic anymore? You know, and there's no mistake. We just get to let it go. And then sometimes they're really awkward conversations, you know, reorient ourselves and let go of these old relationships, let go of these old commitments. And so for me, this is kind of a long answer, but it feels important to say all of that.
And much appreciated answer.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. And so, you know, do you feel what I'm saying? Have you felt this as well a little bit?
You have no idea.
Yeah, I think I do feel that. Yeah.
How much you are speaking to my soul right now.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, well, totally. So, and we're all in this moment, like we're all so connected and I feel especially us, you know, people who are in positions of leadership and being examples who have said yes to like having books and podcasts and being teachers and being mirrors and sounding boards. It's like us especially are like in this moment of, you know, okay, what is high integrity? What is high truth? Like, what is your, like, who are you really now? Like, what is your authentic expression? And what's the old stuff that maybe feels familiar, that maybe feels secure, that maybe feels like, oh, I'm really good at this, but it's actually not what you want to do anymore? And can you have the wherewithal and the honesty with yourself, like to give yourself that permission? Like for me, it's like, it's so deep actually, like, whoa, to give myself permission to let go of some of this stuff that I've been doing for years and effectively like closing my business that I've been running for many years, like in the way that I was running it. It's like, wow, like it was really intense to give myself that permission to say out loud, I don't want to do this way anymore. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to do this in that way anymore. It was really vulnerable. And it actually didn't come up for me alone. Like it came up through a whole process. Like I've been hosting this event, creating this. It sounds funny to say that actually, that's not what it is. I started a new company called Odyssey, and it's what I've always dreamed of creating. And it's launching in November with an inaugural convergence for 4 days. And it's a network actually that supports visionaries, CEOs, and new earth investors in coming into greater mastery and really practicing coherence, which I believe is the foundational, you know, aspect of the new type of leadership that we must rise into, you know, to create a more harmonious world, to learn how to share better, to learn how to communicate better, to build more trust and intimacy in our relationships and in our businesses. So Odyssey is really this like culmination of my whole life. And it's like creating the community that I've always craved, with like all of my favorite people on earth. And like, as I've been holding this and growing it this whole year, as I think is the case for any vision that we like, you know, feel with our whole soul is like our purpose. Anything that's not in full alignment with that, you know, as we rise into greater authenticity and truth that our big vision calls us into, anything that's suddenly incongruent just gets like really loud and really clear. It's like, wait a minute, that no longer fits in with this picture. That is not okay. Whoa. And so for me, like over this year, I said yes to this TV show thing. I was like working with more clients than I've ever worked with, you know, personal coaching clients. I was holding a lot. It was really interesting to go through that because on one level, it's like, oh, cool. I want to see how much I can expand to hold. Like I'm expanding in my capacity to hold a lot of energy and to hold a lot of space. And I expanded and expanded and okay, whoa, interesting. Some of these commitments now feel, you know, depleting actually instead of energizing. I think I know actually that, you know, as long as we're doing things that are really our highest calling, that feel energizing, that feel good, we do have infinite energy. You know, we have infinite energy to work with as long as we're channeling it into things that we love. And you know, and as you're channeling more energy into things you love, the things that are no longer in total resonance get really loud and uncomfortable. And so heavy. For me, and really heavy and really dense and confusing and just weird. And if your reality doesn't naturally sort those things out, you know, by ending the relationships or creating the interruptions, you'll eventually have to deal with it. And so that was my, you know, my case over the last couple of weeks. It was, you know, having Odyssey coming up so soon and feeling this kind of like, whoa, like, why do I feel, you know, let go of the Mystic Manor, let go of that commitment, had more spaciousness. And then I was just with my clients and then I had Odyssey, but it still felt kind of like this compartmentalized, you know, focus of like, wait a minute, Odyssey now feels more clear than ever. It feels like it's calling me into this like version of myself that feels so authentic, so powerful, so good. It feels so good. Wow. And it's like calling me into this like new level. And then I had my clients and these other things I was involved in. And it didn't feel like that. It felt kind of like, oh, interesting. Now I feel that part of me is actually, you know, wait a minute. I feel compartmentalized. This doesn't feel authentic. It felt really vulnerable to even allow myself to feel that. And then this awareness that I now have arose was like my business partner in Odyssey, you know, actually saying like, I was telling her, like, I feel like I'm not present right now because of all the things that I'm holding. And, you know, and she's like, well, what about your client containers? Why don't you pause them? Or can you like renegotiate the terms? Why don't you just stop? And at first I felt really resentful at her for saying that because it was like my own resentment towards myself actually that I was projecting out to her and the feeling of like, I have to do this. I made these commitments and this is what people expect of me. And, you know, and just went through this whole process of, again, my ego wanting to protect itself and wanting to stay in the familiar. And then I just kind of let myself like feel into that, like, wait a minute, well, what if could I change? Could I like shift the arrangement? How could I create more space so that I can focus on what I really want to focus on? And I didn't go right to like, I'm going to just end it all and, you know, close it all down. It, it started just a little bit. And that's how these big decisions, I think, eventually come to being. We must give ourselves like the little permission at first to just say, well, wait a minute, how can I create more space first and foremost? How can I actually like create more space to like first feel myself and, you know, give, feel like I can give more energy to what I really love, to what's calling me into like my true self, what feels really, really energizing. Okay, let me like see this from a little more peace and clarity, groundedness. Okay. And then for me, it was like, it was even still confusing. You know, I was still having my client, you know, one of my clients, like containers as a group that I've been hosting for many months. And this feels vulnerable to say, but I just, again, in hopes of being like an example of, you know, first of all, being permission that like you too can do this, you know, and it's awkward. It's really awkward and weird. It's like, there's no template for how to have these conversations. You know, all I could do is like with my clients, be honest, be totally honest and own my experience in the present moment, which in the first conversations I had where I was expressing this, like, you know, hey, I'm not sure if it's in alignment for me to be, you know, going to New York to host this immersion. I'm not sure if it's in alignment for me to continue working with you in this capacity. I know we had this agreement to do this for a certain amount of time, but it's just no longer feeling authentic for me. And it feels really vulnerable for me to say that because I love you. And this is beyond a business relationship or any of these things. Like we're doing soul work together. You know, it's like really intimate. It's family. And so I felt I was crying in a lot of these conversations because I felt like I was letting them down. And I felt like I was being you know, out of integrity with our commitment. And I was all of these things, all the rules that I had held myself to. But I had to listen to that inner truth, which is that, you know, if I can't be of service to myself and honor my truth, I'm actually not able to be of service to anybody. And it wouldn't make sense for me to convince myself to like finish out these contracts if it didn't feel true. Like that's not fair, you know? So anyways, I got to have a lot of these conversations. Each one got easier and easier. Most of my clients who are really family were like, I totally understand that. That makes sense. Totally get it. You know, and they have gone through their own evolution. We got to have these really rich exchanges and learnings and healing, you know, that got to arise, that's still arising because there were the initial conversations. And then even a few days later, there are like new insights that come up for, you know, there's a few people that I can feel them having, you know, a lot of healing coming up because for them, I represent maybe another person in their life who's, you know, abandoned them or let them down or given up or, and I understand that, like, I get that it's not personal and that maybe our dynamics being used for some of these other things to be worked on. But that feels a little bit heavy right now. Like that feels a little sensitive. Like I'm aware of these people that I deeply love who are having these projections and experiences. And all I can do is be available to like work on it and to have space available to like share, you know, to share. And I'm here, I'm available and it's up to them. Like I can't coerce, you know, there's just, that's all I can do. And so I've learned so much from this journey and it's been big. So that was just literally last week that I had, it's only been 1 week and I let go of a lot of my client containers. I let go of a lot of the old iterations of my business. I canceled a retreat that I had booked to host in Bali in December that I had planned for the whole year that I invested a bunch of money into. I refunded a bunch of people and that's all felt really vulnerable. I've never done any of that stuff before. But it also feels liberating. It feels so liberating because now I'm so open and I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so much more myself now. I feel so ready to put, you know, my full energy and focus into what is really my highest alignment. And alignment is something I've been teaching about for years, but I feel like this last week and all the lessons and the ways I've shown up have been like, okay, wow, I'm actually like walking the talk now, you know?
Yeah. Because yeah. it feels like the path that you're on leads you to, I mean, it's obvious when you say it, but it's like the path you're on leads you to where you are now in a way that no other path could have possibly led you to this exact spot. Mm-hmm. And now that you're in this spot, you're so much more able to like do it and to be it and to live it because of all those other things. And because, and like, it's like, everything has prepared you for this one moment and you're ready. It's like, all right, mm-hmm. I'm ready. It's go time. Yeah. Let's do it.
It's really felt like that, you know, and I feel that for anybody listening too, it's like this particular week in time, like this, like last 2 weeks of October, I feel like the energy you know, this energy hitting Earth, this energy hitting our bodies, this like upgrade of our planet, you know, ascension. It's like calling us into our true selves. And it's like calling us into radical discernment of like, what is true for you? What is true? And all of the false identities and any ways in which you've been clinging to security or familiarity that don't actually feel authentic, like they're going to get blasted with like some light, or they're going to maybe pop up. They're going to feel really uncomfortable. They're going to feel extra weird, and you get to deal with them. You get to take responsibility to like clear these things away so that more of like your divine mission, more of who you really are, can show up. It's just like waiting. It's basically just all of that, like who you really are, your mission, your like unique purpose on earth is just like waiting to be revealed. As soon as you clear away the distractions and the noise or any ways in which you've just been showing up based on how people expect you to show up.
And I also think it's not just how other people expect you to show up. I think it's also your perception of mm-hmm. what you think other people think about you.
I like that game. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is so weird. It's like, first of all, you don't even know what they're actually thinking about you, probably. Yep. And then it's like, but who cares at the end of the day? Like,
yeah,
that's what you think about yourself. At least I think.
That's a really good point. I mean, you're talking about the kind of the empath chameleon game, and a lot of people are awakening out of that right now too, of like, wait a minute, whoa, I've been living my whole life through the eyes of other people. And, you know, social media and a lot of the dynamics we're conditioned to operate in now is like entraining that type of a consciousness, like really deeply into us. Like I exist solely through your eyes, like how you see me. And like this creates this whole like avatar persona and disconnection from self. But at the end of the day, it's so funny because you're right. Like even if we're super psychic and really empathic, like, and I can feel what you're thinking and feeling and knowing about me, and I can like, you know, who cares? Like this is my experience in my life. What matters most is like me and my understanding of myself and my choices, you know, right. Like it's so simple.
You know, at the end of our life, I think about this all the time. At the end of our lives, we're going to be on our deathbed, right? And I mean, whether it's a bed or not, whatever, but that, you know, I feel like it accomplishes what I'm trying, but we're going to be on our deathbed. We're not going to be on Johnny or Susie's. So why would we live for them or based on what then? That doesn't sound like what I meant, but like, mm-hmm. why would we live based on what they think when at the end of the day, we are the ones who deal with the consequences of our actions? And like, we are the ones who at the end of our life will either be fully happy and fulfilled and like just have lived the life that we wanted to live, or have regrets. Whenever I think about that, I'm like, wow, I so do not want to live for other people. I don't want to live based on what they think or live. I don't want to live in a way where I'm worried about what other people think about me. Because at the end of the day, they're not the ones who have to, like, they're not the ones who deal with it. I'm the one that deals with it. And I want to live for other people, meaning I want to help other people and I want to love other people and, you know, like, be with other people and experience life with other people. But I don't want to take away from my experience or cater the way I live my life based on how I think somebody else wants me to, because that's not what I'm here to do. And if I try to do that, I may be missing out on something that could help humanity and everybody. I mean, I have no idea. Like, there are so many things that so many people could do. They have the potential to do that. I just don't think they're ever going to do because they're so worried about what other people think. They're not like owning their own shit and like just doing it. And I don't know. I feel like there's so much happiness and excitement and like goodness that's there that is untapped. And like, yeah, I don't know, but thank you for
Yes, you know. I like to always interrupt people when they say I don't know, because it's like, you exactly, you know what's up. And you just, what you said is so beautiful. And it reminds me of what we were just sharing about, like the breath. You know, a great way to like drop all the noise and being in all the energy draining of like keeping track of people is to like come back to the breath and like breathe all the way into yourself. Like be with yourself, be fully here, you know, like that. That's it.
What an amazing circle. Like a whole came right back to it. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Sydney, I want to be very respectful of your time. I do want to say thank you very, very much for coming on the show today and for sharing everything that you have and for sharing this time with me. It's been very special and very meaningful. And I do have one more question for you, but I wanted to take this time to say thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. You're such a sweetheart. I really appreciate you. And thank you for inviting me to co-create space with you. It's been such a pleasure.
Well, I feel the same way. So last question for you. What question should I be asking you that I just wouldn't think to ask?
Oh, should. I don't like that word. Because it's like, you know, it implies that, again, like you don't actually know exactly what to do. And I feel like your questions have been so intuitive and perfect and right on. And maybe you would ask, you know, what's something I would really love for you to ask me? And when I tune in about that, I feel really complete. I feel like you got it all. I feel like, you know, I just feel really complete with everything that got to come through and everything that was shared, and just really trust. I trust you and I trust us.
Awesome. Well, thank you again very, very much, Sydney. And I feel the same way. So I want to thank you again really acknowledge you for being willing to talk about these things and to like participate and engage with me in this way. It's been very meaningful. So once again, I want to say thank you very much.
Aw, thank you. I'm excited to play more and stay in touch and weave and you know, maybe we'll have you at Odyssey someday and maybe we can, you know, create another podcast some other time. And it's been an absolute joy. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And to everybody else who's watching, listening, I want to thank and acknowledge y'all. Y'all rock. I love you. And I will see all of you on the next episode. Take care now.